Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, students. Welcome to our lesson summary review for today. We're continuing with our bachelor's degree course entitled Spiritual Gifts, and we're on session number 8 this week, which will deal with other ministry gifts. This is part 2 of our seminar on other ministry gifts, and this week we'll be speaking specifically about giving, ruling, and showing mercy, as well as helping. Now, this session is intended to help students to see that the purpose of the ministry gifts of giving, ruling, showing mercy, and helping is to build up the body of Christ. It should also show them the nature and the importance of these gifts, as well as emphasize that the Holy Spirit wants to enable more believers to have these ministries. So as we always do, students, we're going to take time now to seek the face of God. I encourage each of you to regularly commit to your time of personal devotion with the Lord, because that is the most important relationship that we can have. So let us seek God now as we prepare to study this week's lesson on other ministry gifts. Father, we thank you today for preparing our hearts and minds, for touching each student, every person who's listening to this broadcast, that you would bring healing, that you would fulfill their needs and supply their needs for them and direct them so that they will benefit from these lessons, that they will grow spiritually, emotionally, and in all the ways that bring glory to you. So today we surrender our will to your will, ask that your Holy Spirit will fill us with your knowledge and your discernment, your guidance and direction. We confess our love and our devotion to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Students, again, I welcome you to our lesson summary review. This week, we're going over Session 8 of the course Spiritual Gifts, which is one of our Bachelor's in Practical Ministry programs. Is our course today is entitled Other Ministry Gifts. We're talking about giving, ruling, showing mercy, and helping in this week's lesson. So if you went through your study guide material, you read the introduction for this week's course, and I'm going to go over some of the meaning of the gifts that we're going to be talking about this week, as well as some of the ways that they are illustrated and explained to us from our lesson material. And this should be helpful in each of us applying these lessons to our life, and helping us to also know how to minister in these ways or allow ourselves to surrender to God in order to be ministered to in these ways. So the first gift that we see talked about in our lesson is the gift of giving. And so let's look at how the gift of giving is defined from our lesson material, and let's look at how it is explained, illustrated, and what is the purpose of the gift of giving. So our first objective in our course asks us to explain the purpose and function of the gift of giving. Now here's a scripture you can make note of, Romans chapter 12, verse 8, which says, "Whoever shares or gives to others should do it generously." So in the King James Version, we see that it means, sharing means giving. So giving needs no definition. It should not need a definition for any of us. All of us understand what it means to give. However, the gift of giving does need defining. By the gift of giving, we mean the gift of God, which enables a believer to freely and generously give of what he has to meet the needs of other people and God's work. The gift of giving relates to our money, but it also relates to such things as our time, strength, and talents. So how is this gift illustrated and explained in our lesson this week? Well, if you will take a look or make note of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, you'll see some ideals that we'll find in this particular portions of Scripture. One of the things we see is that the gift of giving may be developed as we follow the examples of others. You see in 2 Corinthians 8, 5, first, Paul says, "First, the Macedonians gave themselves to the Lord, and then, by God's will, they gave themselves to us as well." Second example, we can also see in 2 Corinthians 8 and 7, where the gift of giving is important in the believer's life. That's the second point you need to understand. Paul says, you are so rich in all you have, in faith, speech, and knowledge, in your eagerness to help, and in your love to us. And so we want you to be generous also in your giving. A third example is found in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians, which talks about the gift of giving is not regulated by rules. So Paul says, I am not laying down any rules in this particular portion of Scripture. We can continue in verse number 9, where we see the gift of giving was best illustrated by the Lord Jesus himself. Here is Paul's statement to the church in Corinth. Rich as he was, he made himself poor. He gave for your sake in order to make you rich. That's 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. A fifth example we can see of how the gift of giving is explained and illustrated is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, where Paul is saying that the gift of giving comes to those who willingly or cheerfully gives. He says, for God loves the one who gives gladly or cheerfully. Let's look at a couple more examples of how the gift of giving is illustrated and explained. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, where we can see that we are assured that our own need will be met when we give. For Paul says, and God is able to give you more than you need, so that you will always have all that you need. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Example number 7 is, the gift of giving is an indication of the interest of the Lord in every good cause. For Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, more than enough for every good cause. And one final example, example number 8 of how the gift of giving is explained and illustrated in Scripture, is that the gift of giving makes possible a great reward. Now, this last point is made in 2 Corinthians. Is not made, excuse me, in 2 Corinthians, but rather it comes from Philippians. Make note of this scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, where Paul is speaking to the church in Philippi. He says this, I want to see a profit added to your account that is in heaven. So in these examples, we see the gift of giving from our first objective shows us the purpose and the function of the gift of giving. We looked at some of the ways that the gift is explained and illustrated in Scripture. So I pray that you will make good note of those examples. And so before we move to our second other ministry gift, let's talk a little bit about the purpose of the gift of giving. So we've studied how it was explained and illustrated. We talked about a definition for giving. Now let's see the purpose. Now, every gift is given for some special purpose. All of the gifts are given to meet the needs of the body of Christ. They also enable the body to carry out its mission. So the special purpose for the gift of giving is this, to supply the needs of the body of Christ. That is, to meet the needs of its members. That is the purpose of the gift of giving. Now let's move on to our second gift that we're looking at today, which is the gift of ruling. This objective asks us to explain the function and purpose of the gift of ruling. So let's do the same thing with this gift as we did with the gift of giving. The gift of ruling is defined by Paul again in Romans chapter 12, verse 8, where he says, whoever has authority should work hard. Now, the word authority is called ruling in the King James Version. And ruling means standing before or presiding over. So we can see an example in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. The gift of ruling is called the gift to direct or govern. In the King James Version, the word for direct is governments. So the gift of ruling then is a gift given to certain members of the body of Christ for the purpose of standing before or leading the body. for presiding over the body, and for directing the body. That is how the gift of ruling is explained in our lesson. Now let's talk a little bit about how the gift is explained and illustrated. If you look in your study guide on page 97, you'll see an example where it shows that a depiction that of Christ being the ruler, and then he assigns some bishops and deacons or servants, and he gives them the work to do for the congregation. So let's look at this a little bit closely. First, the church leaders that are usually the one presiding over is usually referred to by the word bishop or overseer. So Paul gave this definition to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 through 5. He says he must be able to manage his own family well and make his children obey him with all respect. For if a man does not know how to manage or rule his own family, how can he take care or rule the church of God? So here we see that the office of a church leader or bishop was one of the highest responsibilities of the local church. Paul also says that the elder or bishop must be apt to teach. And so another term that we can see used for the overseer or the leader, the one who rules over a congregation, can be the word elder or a presbyter. So we understand that the principal responsibility of the elder or bishop was to preside over and direct the body of believers, not in their own ways, but direct them in fulfilling the work of God that is consistent with Scripture. That is one of the areas of the gift of ruling we look at. Let's look at a second area of the gift of ruling, which is referred to in our lesson as deacons, ministers, or servants. And this is dealing with the gift of helping. Now, so far we've talked about the one person that probably will be called to direct a mission, like a coach. There's only one head coach for any football team or sports team. But they're also assistant coaches, so to speak, in a sports metaphor. In the church, there is something similar to that. They're called deacons, ministers, sometimes servants. And so some believers who are not full-time spiritual leaders, such as those that we named in our previous section, also will have a gift of ruling. But usually they work under the supervision of the bishop or the elder. So we see 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. It seems to make this clear. He says, they are called church helpers. That is, they help the leaders in directing groups of believers. See an example in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, where the writer says, so then, brothers, choose 7 men among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we will put them in charge of this matter. They will assist us in this matter. So that is the gift of ruling. You see, some are to preside over, to govern, and to direct the body of believers. There are others that are assigned to serve as assistants or helpers, deacons, servants, to assist the leaders in carrying out the work for the congregation. So let's look at the purpose of this gift of ruling. The function of the gift of ruling is something we mentioned earlier. It is governing or directing. So the purpose of this gift is to give unity and strength to the body of Christ so it can fulfill its purpose in the world. I want you to think of what an army would be like if every soldier decided for himself where to go and what to do. Surely there would be confusion. So the function of army officers is to lead, to preside over, and direct the other soldiers so their goals can be reached, and so it is in the body of Christ as well. So that is the second area of ruling, our second objective about the gift of ruling. So far in our lesson on other spiritual gifts, this is session 8 of the course, Spiritual Gifts. We have looked at the gift of giving, and we've looked at the gift of ruling. Now let's go ahead and take a look at our third area of giftings, which is the gift of showing mercy. This is our third objective in our course. In our lesson, that is, the third objective asks us to explain the function and purpose of the gift of showing mercy. So let's take a look at how the gift is defined. Again, we'll take a look at Romans 12 and verse 8, where Paul says, "Whoever shows kindness to others should do it cheerfully." Now, the word kindness in the King James Version is mercy. And mercy means compassion, or to have a fellow feeling with another. That is, to feel with another or to feel for another. It can also mean to sympathize. Therefore, the gift of showing mercy is the gift of showing others that you feel both with them and for them. It is the gift of being able to sympathize with others. Now, let's take a look at how this gift is explained and illustrated in our lesson. The greatest example or illustration of the gift of showing mercy is the Lord Jesus himself. And so here are six examples or illustrations that we can look at. First, we can see Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. You can make note of these if you like. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, where we see written that as he saw, he being Jesus, as he saw the crowds, his heart was filled with pity, which is compassion in the King James Version, filled with compassion for them because they were worried and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's one example we see. Another example is found in Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, where we read, "When he saw the large crowds, his heart was filled with pity for them, and he healed those who were ill. A third example is found in Matthew chapter 20, verse 34. It says, "Jesus had pity on them and touched their eyes." A fourth example is found in Mark chapter 1, verse 41. It says, "Jesus was filled with pity or compassion and stretched out his hand and touched them." Number five is found in Mark chapter 8, verse 2, where we read, "I feel sorry for these people because they have been with me for 3 days and now have nothing to eat." And one final example that we'll see of Jesus about the gift of showing mercy is found in Luke chapter 7, verse number 13, where we read, "When the Lord saw her, his heart was filled with pity for her, and he said to her, 'Don't cry.'" So we see from these examples that Jesus felt deeply with people and for people. He has showed those people his mercy. In every case where it is said of him that he had compassion, it is also clear he did what he could for the people involved. So students, it is not enough to feel for people and with people. We must show people that we feel for them and with them by ministering or serving them or meeting their needs. For the sorrowful, there must be a word of comfort. For the lonely, there must be friendship. For the discouraged, there must be the word of encouragement. And for the sinner, there must be a loving concern. So we've looked at this gift of showing mercy, how it's defined and how the gift was explained and illustrated in Scripture. Now let's talk finally about the purpose of the gift of showing mercy. Now, as our lesson study guide pointed to, the function for the gift of showing mercy is to enable believers to feel with and for others and to sympathize with them. So the purpose for the gift of showing mercy is to show the needy mercy by actually standing by and helping in times of need. What a beautiful gift this is, and one that is much needed within the body of Christ as well as our world. So far we looked at the three of the four other ministry gifts that we're going to study today. We studied the gift of giving, ruling, and showing mercy. Now let's take a look at our final gift, which is the gift of health or the gift of helping. Our fourth objective asks us to explain the function and purpose of the gift of helps. So here's how it is defined. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, where we read, in the church, God has put those to help others. And help means relief or assistance. It's kind of a sister gift to showing mercy. Because Jesus has mercy or compassion, you exercise the gift of helps to help them. So should we. So the gift of helps is that gift by which a believer is enabled by the Holy Spirit to relieve or assist another by helpful deeds or take actions to help them. So let's see how the gift is explained and illustrated in Scripture in our lesson plan. One example we can see in Acts chapter 18, verse 27, where we see it reads, Apollos then decided to go to Achaia, so the believers in Ephesus helped him by writing to the believers in Achaia. Now, another translation suggests that the believers encouraged Apollos, which is also an example of helping. Let's look at Romans chapter 16, verse 9, where we see greetings also to Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ's service. So we are not told what this man did to assist Paul. He may have done some preaching or teaching. Perhaps he helped by leading the people in singing hymns. He may have helped by handling the money for Paul's team. Then again, he could have helped by visiting new converts. We can only guess how he helped, but we can, though, see how believers with the gift of helps are very valuable to the body of Christ. Let's see a third example of the gift of helps illustrated and explained. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. Philippians 4 and 3, where it reads, I want you to help these women, for they have worked hard with me to spread the gospel. Now, some scholars interpret worked hard with me to mean fought by my side. So here we see that women can also have the gift of helps. Again, we do not know how they helped. They could have helped by meeting with the new women believers, could have helped by preparing food for Paul and his group. Were they helpers by their intercession or prayers, perhaps? Did they sew garments for Paul and his group and keep the clothes washed? Possibly, because the gift of helps include any type of task or deed to assist another. So we see from these examples, gift of giving, the gift of helps, gift of showing mercy, and the gift of ruling, that each gift has been defined, each gift has been illustrated and explained. And before we conclude this with an exercise, let's look at the final thing about the purpose of the gift of helps. We've seen how it was defined, that is to relieve or give assistance, and we saw some examples in Scripture. So the purpose of this final gift that we studied today, the gift of helps, is to give believers in the body of Christ the ability to help the leaders and the church in general with their work. The purpose of the gift is to help get the actual work done to extend God's kingdom. The function speaks of ability to help, and the purpose speaks of the actual help that it gives. So there we see the four other ministry gifts defined, explained, illustrated, and we talked about the purpose of each one. Now, I have one final exercise sheet that I'd like for us to go over in conclusion. Let's look at some of the lesson insights that we gained from this week's lesson. Some of the things we gained, 5 points I want to leave you with, or 8. Says Jesus said, the more we give, the more blessings we shall receive, in Luke 6, 30 and 38. In reading that scripture, we must also realize that it would be greedy if we gave more in order to get more. So what kind of giving is Jesus referring to? He's talking about the kind of giving that is done to please others, the unselfish giving. But we must always keep in mind also that Jesus says it is more blessed to give than to receive. We give because we have mercy, we have compassion, or we have pity, or we want to help in the work of ministry, not for what we can get, but for what we can give. Another insight we see in the early church, many of the believers had lost their living because they followed Christ. We see an example in Acts chapter 4, verse 34 to 35, that many believers who had houses and land sold them and gave the money to the church. In this way, the church could provide for the needs of all the believers. So we see a practical example there. Number three, we see the apostles appointed elders to rule the churches. Look at Titus chapter 1, verse 5. We see some of the elders preached and some did not. Paul said the elders who did good work should be rewarded, especially those who worked hard as preachers and teachers. You can see an example of that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let's look at a few more. We see a fourth insight is that elders needed spiritual gifts, including the gift of directing the church. Now, the King James Version, as we talked about earlier, calls this ministry gift of governments. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 28. So the elders were honored highly in their work. When they faced important questions, we note that the decisions were made by the apostles and the elders in Acts chapter 15, verse 6. A fifth insight we gain from our lesson today is Jesus told a story to illustrate how important it is for the gift of mercy to operate in our lives. Look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Jesus gave the story of a king who showed great mercy to his servant who owed him millions of dollars. But the same servant then refused to show any mercy at all toward a fellow servant who owed him only a few dollars. God had showed great mercy to us, saints, and he is displeased if we are not merciful toward our fellow man. Number six, the ministry of helps has a chain reaction. That is, the person who is helped in turn helps others. We see example of Priscilla and Aquila had a ministry of helps. They helped Paul in Romans 16:3, and then he helped many others. Also, they helped Apollos by explaining the way of God to him more correctly, and Apollos then went on to help many others in Acts chapter 18, verse 26 to 28. Number seven, two more for you. Jesus said to those who are faithful in doing small things, they will be given greater things to do. Matthew chapter 25, verse 33. And this is illustrated in the story of John Mark. He began as a servant, ministering to the physical needs of Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey in Acts 13, 5. The King James Version indicates this was a ministry of helps. And as time went on, he became a valuable helper in the gospel work, 2 Timothy 4, 11. And he later wrote the Gospel of Mark. So one final insight is that God does not ask us to do more than we are able to do, students. 2 Corinthians 8, 12, we know that when he calls us to do something, we must do all that we can, and he will be pleased with us in that service. So today we've reviewed session number 8 of the course Spiritual Gifts, Other Ministry Gifts, Giving, Ruling, Showing Mercy, and Helps. I pray that this lesson will be something that will be something that you can apply to your life and to your ministry, and that the Holy Spirit will be upon you as you continue to study these lessons. Also, I want to remind you to read through our 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. We should remember that whole chapter about love accompanying all the work we do. So again, I thank you, students, for allowing me this opportunity to come into your home to review this lesson with you, and I look forward to our next session. In the meantime, God bless you, and good day.